Absolutely sure that this has happened to everybody. You've reluctantly thrown out some piece of electronic equipment purely because a small part has broken. It happens all the time with phones and household gadgets. In most cases, you probably thought it was cheaper to throw it away than repair it, or that it couldn't be repaired, or that you wouldn't know the first thing about repairing it even though you'd give it a go. Well, iFixit.com is a website devoted to giving information on how to repair gadgets rather than throw them away, and it was set up by Kyle Weens. So Kyle, can you first of all explain better than I did there, what is iFixit.com?
So iFixit is a collection of how-to guides for how to fix everything from a cell phone to a kettle. Our goal is to make it as easy as possible for anybody to fix all their stuff. We want to teach you how to make your stuff whole again.
And are you sort of putting that stuff up on the website from the original manuals themselves?
We wish we were. It turns out the companies don't really want you fixing some of their products.
Yeah.
So we have gone our own way, and we make repair guides. We have community members around the world. So we're kind of like Wikipedia, where anybody can take some pictures and make a how-to guide. They post them online and turn them into repair manuals. We're all doing it without help from the manufacturers, but it's turned into a phenomenal resource.
And would you find, like I would imagine, there's a huge divide between generations out there. Older people are just astonished that things don't get fixed anymore, and they used to get things fixed all the time. Younger people, just, you know, disposable, throw the stuff away.
I think that's true, and we're working our hardest to change that. We've got young folks fixing iPods for their parents now, fixing iPhones for their parents. So we're seeing a swing back in the other direction, but there certainly has been a trend for a long time towards a disposable economy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell me exactly how you personally came up with the idea of iFixit.
I was trying to fix my laptop. I dropped it, and the power plug was a little bit loose, and I knew that if I could just get inside and put a drop of solder on it, I'd be able to fix it. But I couldn't find information on how to take it apart. I was going on the internet looking for a repair manual, and the manufacturer wasn't sharing repair manuals. So I took it apart, sort of bodged the process, but I eventually got it working. And I said, no one else should have to go through the pain and suffering that I did of having to figure it out the first time.
Have you come across what I would consider, like I could call, bad practice in business? I mean, you said earlier on, you alluded to the fact that it's a possible thing that a lot of these companies really don't want you to be fixing anything. I mean, like my computer thingy-bob, laptop, and the plug to stick it into the wall, a tiny bit of the wire got, okay, the dog ate it, literally. The dog ate through the wire a bit. Like, I had to throw the whole thing out and buy a new one, and yet the actual plug part, or the big thing that seemed to have everything in it, was absolutely perfect.
Yes, I think we're seeing a lot of bad behavior on part of the manufacturers. They are very proactive at keeping the information out of the hands of consumers because they don't want anybody fixing these products.
Wow. Okay, well then, is this a business for you? Is this a fantastic hobby? Or is this a crusade?
This is a crusade. This is a life mission. iFixit is building a free and open source repair manual for everything. And we want to teach everyone in the world. I think the information on how to repair all of your things should be available to everyone in the world for free.
Exactly. Now, what kind of people do you have doing this? I mean, do you have experts in every field who would know how to repair something?
Yeah, we have everyone from experts to hobbyists, people that have been repair technicians their entire life and they want to share their knowledge. We have one of our top contributors is a retired pastor from Texas who fixes computers in his spare time for people and goes onto the website and answers people's questions and posts repair guides. So we have a phenomenal community of really motivated and dedicated people that all believe in the same thing, that we don't have to live in a throwaway society, that we can make our stuff longer, and that we can save money in the process.
Okay, but isn't it true also that if there is a downside, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing? Isn't it a bit risky to take apart electronic equipment if you're not a techie type?
Yeah, that's why it's so helpful to have a guide that walks you through the process. So people come to us and they say, well, I want to fix my iPhone, but I don't know if I can. So we say, well, go on the website, look at the instructions, and make a decision for yourself if that's something that you feel comfortable doing. And if you don't, then you could take it to a local repair shop who can use the instructions to do the repair.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Now, do you think, like somebody like myself, I am not Mr. DIY. Do you think that I could learn? Do you think, like, that I should just jump in and shouldn't really be too apprehensive or too worried about it, that you'd be surprised what I could do?
I think you'd be really impressed with yourself. I mean, we have people all the time that say, hey, I'd never have taken apart any electronics. I was able to take my iPhone apart, throw a new battery in. It only took me 20 minutes. I was blown away at how easy it is. And now I'm excited and I want to fix everything.
And can we, like, do you have moving parts, as in, like, do you have films of people doing it, or is it just that you have the manuals up there taking it through step by step in print?
Yeah, so we make it as easy as we can. So what we'll do is we do a video overview on a lot of the manuals where it shows you kind of the process. You see somebody doing it. And then when you actually do the repair, you follow the step-by-step photos. And you can actually, for any smartphone, you can download the iFixit app, which has all of the instructions in it. It's free. And then you can have, you know, a tablet or a phone right there in front of you as you're doing the repair.
And in order to have a comprehensive website, you haven't bought equipment and broken it specifically, have you? Like, I mean, you can't write a manual about everything. Surely it's really expensive to buy loads of gadgets purely to take it apart.
And that's where we find the community really comes in, because I don't have everything or know how to fix everything, and I'm sure you don't either, but we get volunteers from around the world that have, you know, an old motorcycle that they've been tinkering with, so they take photos of repairs as they do them and then post them online.
So do you feel that iFixit is a bit like Wikipedia now? It's an open source.
Exactly. Everything is open source. If you're following an instruction and you find that it's confusing, you can just click edit and improve it, and then it's better for the next person.
And how many manuals do you think, do you reckon that are up on iFixit at the moment?
We've got about 10,000 guides on the site now, but people are adding more all the time.
Wow, are there 10,000 gadgets out there?
It's amazing how many gizmos there are. We have manuals for about 500 different cell phones, which is most of the common cell phones on the market. But we've heard that there's about 5,000 different cell phone models the companies have made. And without them being willing to share the instructions, it's on the rest of us to crowdsource and create the manuals ourselves.
So, like, it's an ebb and flow kind of thing. People add mistakes and check things out and change things, and it constantly can only get better. Isn't that the point, really, I suppose?
Yeah, and I'm always impressed. I mean, I'll write a manual myself, and I'll think it's pretty good, and I post it up there, and then the next day somebody finds a typo in it.
Yeah.
And the next week somebody takes a better picture or finds a way of clarifying a process. And we find that over time, all of us are able to create incredibly easy-to-use manuals. And they are dramatically getting better. If I look at a manual that was written 3 years ago, it's much better and easier to follow now than it ever used to be.
Yeah, of course. And how do you know that the repair information up there is accurate?
Well, that's the great thing about repairs. You're following a repair instruction. So you start out, you have a broken thing, you use a repair guide. At the end, either you fixed it or you didn't. It's pretty verifiable whether the site is working or not.
Yeah, that's a pretty straightforward answer, all right. So, like, the quality obviously gets better over time as well, obviously. So do you engage with the manufacturers at all?
We try to. You know, we work on environmental standards and we work in other forums where we're trying to get them to share more information. And we have found that they have been very consumer hostile and very closed. So we are very interested in collaborating with them. There is a new startup cell phone company out of the Netherlands called Fairphone, where they're making a phone, and they wanted it to be fixable from day one. So they came to us and they said, could you help us write the repair manual for the phone? And we said, absolutely. And we put a repair manual up, and they're selling spare parts on their website, and they're really committed to helping their customers all the way through the product life cycle.
Do you know, I'm just thinking that if people like myself, really, regardless of what you put up there, and I still don't think I could do it, because as I say, I'm not Mr. DIY, but there's a middleman here, and I would imagine there's probably an industry that's growing here because of what you're doing, that is electronic independent repair shops. Do you find that there's more of them out there, or that there might be? Because they could be my middleman to say, look, I could say this thing is broken, but look, if you look up this website here, look in front of you, it'll show you how to do it. I don't think I could, but you guys are pretty good at this, and iFixit.com will take you through it. Do you find there is that middle thing that's sort of good?
Absolutely, and we're seeing thousands of repair shops springing up all over Europe, where you can go to the mall and there's a kiosk and there's a guy who can fix your phone. So that's a huge trend. And it's interesting, this used to be the case back in the 70s and 80s. Every TV that you bought came with the schematic, the plan for how it was built. And when you took your TV in for repair, you gave the repairman the schematic, and he used it to do the repair. And they stopped including those schematics with TVs in the 80s, and then all the electronics repair businesses went out of business. So now what we're seeing is there are all these local repair businesses are starting up again using websites like iFixit. So we've gotten around the restrictions of the manufacturers, and we're starting a resurgence in the repair economy.
Well, what about those who say it's cheaper to throw things away now than to repair them?
Well, sometimes it is, but then you have to say, you know, how much do I like the thing that I have?
Yeah.
So if you bought a kettle, for 20 euros a while ago and it breaks, are you going to go and buy another one for 20 euros and use it for a couple of years? I mean, at some point you have to say enough is enough. Like, yes, it might cost more to repair this kettle, but it's mine and I like it and I want to hang on to it.
Yeah, exactly. In the age of recycling, by the way, is it that bad? Is it a bad thing anymore? I mean, I presume it probably is because there's so many cell phones and computers and stuff. Do you find that it is? Like, is it a bad thing?
You know, there's no way to make a new cell phone from an old phone. When you recycle cell phones, you're only able to recover about 70% of the material by weight. And out of 50 different kinds of elements that are in a phone, only 10 to 15 of them can be recovered in recycling. So our recycling practices are incredibly primitive, and there's a vast amount of raw material that goes into making a phone. It's somewhere around 600 pounds of raw material to make a cell phone. And we're not coming anywhere close to recovering that in recycling.
Wow. Okay, and what are the most popular manuals on iFixit? Obviously, I suppose, for iPhones, are they?
Lots of popular repair manuals for iPhones and iPads. One of our most popular repair manuals is for an espresso machine. We have household manuals. There's some really popular guides for like doing oil changes in a Honda Civic and various different kinds of car and automotive maintenance. So it's a really broad spectrum, and we're always surprised people are adding new stuff all the time.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think, though, that sort of the repair shop thing is a good idea, because my son did the Xbox one, and he had everything out on the table with soldering irons and things. I was going, holy God, I don't believe he's doing this, because he's about as thick as me when it comes to this guy. And it proved to be too much for him. It's just one big mass of metal sitting there now. It's never worked. So he should have gone to the middleman.
Maybe. The Xbox repair, the way that those die, sometimes the repair, even an expert, can't fix them, but it's worth it to try. And if you have something that's broken and you try doing a repair and you fail, you're not really any worse off than you were at the beginning. It still doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true. That's true indeed. Yeah. Okay, so is this what you do full-time, Kyle?
This is it. Yeah, and we have a staff in Germany where we're selling repair parts and tools all across Europe. And then, you know, my base is in California where we started.
And did you start this when you were in school?
Yeah, I started in university. I was in the dorms trying to fix my computer. Couldn't figure it out. Wrote a repair manual, put it online. It was more popular than I would have ever dreamed.
Yeah.
And so we kept doing it. We kept putting repair manuals online. And then the community said, hey, we want to put manuals online too. And so we opened it up and we let anybody put manuals on. And now we've turned into the biggest repair manual on the internet.
And do you just find that you have people who are, you know, the traffic that comes through is just people with problems? Or do you have a lot of members?
We have about half a million members around the world, where these are people that are answering questions, submitting repair guides. So yeah, it's really a phenomenal, thriving community, and there's a lot of people all over the world working to make it as easy as possible for you to fix your stuff.
You don't sell any parts or tools that people might need to, you know, take the next step in terms of fixing something.
We do, yeah. That's how we fund our work. So we sell screwdrivers and, you know, little pliers and the things that you need to work on electronics. And then for a lot of products, for Androids and Apple products and some others, we have repair tools linked up.
And is that how you make your money?
That's how we keep the lights on, yeah.
And in terms of Apple and all the rest, are you public enemy number one?
Well, you know, we like Apple's products a lot. We think they're really quality, durable products. Some of them are pretty easy to fix, like the iPhone is relatively easy to repair. Some of them, like the iPad, seem to be designed to be disposable products. And so we're out there. I mean, we're their biggest fan. We want them to design products that stand the test of time. And we're giving them design feedback saying, hey, if you didn't glue the iPad together, we might be able to make this thing last longer.
Wow, indeed. Okay, well then finally, Kyle, just in terms of just advice, in order to fix something, just could you knock it down to three things that I need besides a brain?
Well, the first thing is just patience. Be willing to take a deep breath, take your time. You can get in, you know, find a guide online and do some planning and figure out what you're going to be in for ahead of time. And then I would get a set of really good small electronic screwdrivers. I mean, the Torx bits, some of these are pretty tiny, but they can be very useful. And then as you go, as you take the thing apart, keep track of all the little pieces as you go. So write down on a piece of paper or use an egg carton to track every step of the way where you took the screws out so you can put it back together when you're done.
Okay, I know. I'm going to fall at the first hurdle, but I'm going to give it a bash. There's plenty of broken things in my house. Listen, Kyle, congratulations and well done. And iFixit.com is where everything is, and I can only continue to get better with everybody helping it. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thanks for having me, and I expect to see you try a repair.
Good man, Kyle. See you. Bye.
Cheers, bye.